in the book of Acts, chapter 17. While you're turning to the book of Acts, let me just remind you that there is one announcement that was overlooked. It's the one I'm going to really miss. That's the church picnic this coming Saturday at the Hall River Park. And I hope you're planning to be there at least by 5 o'clock and be ready to eat by 5:30. And I know they have a lot of games and things planned for the afternoon. I'm sorry I'm going to miss all that good food. But I'll be in that land that's closest to the Garden of Eden than I know. I know some of you think of that with a question mark, but nevertheless, that's how it is. We're in Acts chapter 17, and we're beginning our reading at verse 1. When we started our studies in the book of the Acts, I mentioned that the Acts of the Apostles is such an important book in the New Testament. I trust you're reading every day. But if you were to finish the Gospel by John and go right into the book of Romans, you wouldn't understand who these Romans were to whom he's talking. But when you read the book of Acts, you get the historical background for the church epistles. And that's why it is so important. And if you were to read 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, we have the background for these epistles that are written to them by the Apostle Paul at a later time. Verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found him not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are coming hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now we need to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we begin our reading at verse 5, where we read, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Verse 13 of chapter 2. For this cause thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, in the moments that are before us, bless this word, we pray thee, to every heart, and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. For he is the one about whom Paul spoke. He didn't speak of himself, but he spoke of thy dear Son. Help us to do the same. Magnify thy word for his great name's sake. Amen. The Apostle Paul is ministering the word of God in what we know of as Europe. And you'll notice that they passed through Amphipolis, about 33 miles to the north of Philippi. And then they passed through Apollonia, which is another 37 miles further. The question could be asked, why didn't they stop at those places? In all probability, because the reason they stopped at Thessalonica and Berea was there was a synagogue there. There's a place where Jews gathered, and it was the custom of the Apostle Paul to take the gospel to the Jew first. But there was something else. Paul was directed by the Lord. And we need to keep that constantly before us. Divine guidance is so important. And furthermore, he knew that these places would be evangelized by those who believe at Thessalonica. For he writes to them, and he says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. I don't need to open my mouth in Macedonia or Achaia. They know your witness. Let me ask you a question. Does the world know about yours? See, that's the real thrust of this passage. A work was done by God, and a work was done in hearts, and the result was the world got to know of our blessed Lord. I want you to notice, first of all in our text, the scheme of Paul's movements. You see, the gospel is always preached by the Apostle Paul wherever he went, and he went to the Jew first. For Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. Now, Paul was treated very rough by the Jews. One would wonder why he went to them again. After leaving Thessalonica because of the uproar of the Jews, and they called to themselves certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. That's an interesting expression in the King James translation. I can imagine what kind of fellows they were that they used to break up the meeting of the church. But that's how they are described. After Paul was treated so roughly by the Jews, why did he continue to go back to them? Would you want to? Would you go back to them? Well, when you read the 10th chapter of the Romans in the first verse, you understand his heart. For he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's why he went back. Why do we preach the gospel to someone after they make fun of us? We do because we were just the same, and we know that the gospel is the only message that will keep a person out of the lake of fire. There isn't any other message that saves. We can talk about social activity in our city. We can have a dozen and one soup kitchens for the poor. But unless they hear the gospel, they'll never be saved. And we need to keep that before us. And I'm in favor of giving food to the poor. But there's a food that the poor will not get. And that is the bread of life. And the bread of life is what our blessed Lord told the crowd in John chapter 6 to hunger for. He that hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. But the second thing I want you to notice from this passage is the source of Paul's message. Paul reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And remember, he didn't have any of the New Testament scriptures. All the Apostle Paul had was the Old Testament scriptures. And he reasoned with them. And he reasoned with them in two ways. The words are opening and alleging from the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus Christ the Lord, who died, who was buried, and who arose again from the dead, is according to the Old Testament scriptures, their Messiah. Oh, what a blessing it was. Now that word opening. In Acts chapter 16, verse 14, we read about the first convert in Europe. God opened Lydia's heart, whose heart the Lord opened. In Luke chapter 24, on resurrection night, the night that our Lord arose from the dead, there were two of our Lord's disciples walking to Emmaus. And as they were on the way, our Lord joined himself to them. And as he joined himself to them, the scriptures tell us later, after he revealed himself to them and vanished, that they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened unto us the scriptures?" As he opened the scriptures. People get saved, friends, when the scriptures are opened. They must be opened. And now it's amazing that that word opened is only used two times in the New Testament. Now you'll find the word opened more than that, but the Greek word is only found twice. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 27 and here. Beloved, let me say something and say it kindly. If hearts are going to be opened by God, the scriptures must be opened by man. We must open the scriptures with people in order that God opens hearts. He uses the word of God to do it. We can't sit back and twiddle our thumbs and say, "The Lord adds daily to the church such as should be saved." He does that. But he uses human beings in the process. And he opens hearts because we open the scriptures. And beloved, if you take the word of God away from me, I have nothing else to say. Because there isn't any other message that ever saves. That's why Paul, we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The apostle said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, that when ye received the word which ye heard of us, you didn't receive it as the word of men. You received it as the word of God, which effectually worketh in those who believe." And the word of God effectually works in everyone who believes. But then Paul's method here, he not only opened the scriptures, he alleged. And that word alleged, that old English word, which we don't use today, it means to set down by the side of. Paul used the Old Testament scriptures and set them down by the side of the historical Jesus. The Jesus who came in the flesh, who walked among men, who breathed our air. And he proved from the Old Testament scriptures that Christ Jesus the Lord is indeed the Messiah. And you'll notice from our text that Paul had a threefold message. Christ must needs have suffered. It was important for Christ to suffer. You see, this is the message of the suffering servant of Jehovah, of Isaiah chapter 53. The second part of his message was that Christ must rise again from the dead. And that's taught also in Isaiah 53. That's why when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. He opened and he laid down beside them the scriptures." And then this servant who would die and be raised again was none other than the Messiah. And that the Messiah would suffer. And the reason he would is because men are under the condemnation and under the wrath of God, and they're under the sentence of death because of sin. It's one thing to believe that Christ died. That's historical. But to believe that he died for your sins, that's placing an interpretation upon his death. That tells you why he died. Have you placed an interpretation upon the death and the resurrection of Christ? But I want you to notice the system of Paul's mission. There were Jews who believed the word of God. And there was a great number of Gentiles who believed the word of God also. For in 1 Thessalonians 1 it says, "Ye turn to God from idols." They were Gentiles. The Jews were not idol worshippers. You see, they worshiped the God of the Old Testament, but they rejected the God of the New Testament, but they turned to God, they who believed, and so did the Gentiles. Now, what happened? You remember I mentioned a moment ago, they got certain followers, the Jews who did not believe, got certain followers of the baser sort, lewd followers. And broke up the evangelistic campaign. And of course, they sent Paul and Silas away, and they went to the neighboring city of Berea. The word of God says they were more noble. It's interesting that he uses the word noble. The word of God says in the book of Proverbs, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. It's the honor of kings to search it out." Nobility has to do with kings. Kings are people who will search out secret things. That's what the book of Proverbs says. And God says of us that we are a kingdom of priests. And we're noble if we take the scriptures and search them. In other words, verse 11 says they of Berea, welcomed the word, they received the word, but so did the people of Thessalonica. But it says they of Berea were more noble. They had an open mind. But they had a cautious mind as well. The scripture says they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were true. You know what? I'd be thrilled if you came and told me that you just don't take my word for something. That you search the scriptures for yourself. And you examine to see if what I tell you is true. I feel sorry for the individual who only opens a Bible at church and doesn't search it during the week. I feel sorry for the individual who just takes the preacher's word for something and never examines if what he says is really true. You may say, "But all preachers don't lie." I got news for you. They're no different than anybody else. And the Word of God says they do. And all you need to do is read Revelation chapter 1. Or excuse me, Revelation chapter 2 to the church at Ephesus and to the church at Smyrna. There were those who were of the synagogue of Satan. and you can't expect the truth from his mouth. You see, these people at Thessalonica, they were not gullible. They searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were true. Let me ask you a question. What kind of a Christian are you? Are you like the people at Thessalonica, or are you like the people at Berea? It's an amazing thing today. The Bereans were gathered around the scriptures. In the evangelical church of today, we're gathered around certain men. It's an amazing thing what we will do for certain men. Are you gathered around the Word of God? You see, this being gathered around men is what was wrong with the church of Corinth. There were those who said, we're of Paul. Others said, we're of Apollos. And another said, we're of Peter, Cephas. And others, I believe the worst group, they said, we're of Christ. Be careful if you say you ought to come to our church. Oh, we meet around the Lord. Now, beloved, we ought to meet around the Lord. But remember, the city of Capernaum had the Lord Jesus to live in their midst. And our Lord Jesus said, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Oh, you should have been at the conference I was at. Oh, brother so-and-so, he just blessed our souls. And thank God for that. But are you gathered around the Word of God? We need to keep this before us. For it's the Word of God that teaches us of the person of Christ. Now, it doesn't matter who says it. What does the Word of God say? A lot of us get all excited when brother so-and-so says something. It doesn't matter who it is that says it. Is it the Word of God? And if it's the Word of God, then I should obey it, regardless of who says it. Now, what was the result? Oh, verse 12 of Acts 17 says, therefore, many believed. Now the Greeks were persuaded, and they believed. You see, they found no salvation in their pagan gods, in their images. They didn't find salvation in their philosophers. But they found salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, I must ask this question. Have you found this? Again, I quote 2 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause, also thank we God without ceasing, that when you received the word which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. You know, Sunday after Sunday we preach the gospel. And I'll be honest with you, there are some who come regular that I'm not sure they're saved. For you look for something. Paul could say to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. How did Paul know it? He didn't go up to heaven and look into the Lamb's Book of Life. He knew it because in the next verse, verse 5 says, for our gospel came unto you not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. And in verse 13 of chapter 2, he says, the word of God effectually works in those that believe. And all we who are the Lord's people can notice is the word of God as it effectually works. All we can notice is a changed life. Now people tell me things and I believe them. Beloved, we have a right to look for a changed life. The church of Thessalonica proved themselves. The church of Berea did. Do we? This is so important. You see, when Paul preached, there were those who heard and who mocked. There are those who heard and they procrastinated. They put it off. Oh, I have a long time to go. I can do this when it's closer to die. But the trouble is we don't know when we're going to die. Procrastinate. Procrastination is a thief of time. And it's a burglar of eternity. Just put it off. But oh, thank God, there are those who hear and there are those who believe. Are you in that group? Have you heard and believed? Let's sing together in closing this morning, hymn number 305 in our hymn book. Almost persuaded, but to believe. Almost persuaded, Christ to receive. Hymn number 305. Let's stand together as we sing this great hymn. I don't know the condition of your soul, but if you're here without Christ and you want to know Him, and the Lord's speaking to your heart, I'd love to do what Paul did. Sit down alongside of you with an open Bible and show you what the Word of God says. I'll be right here at the front. If any of you want to talk to me, come and find me. I'll be right here. Let's pray. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can believe and that thy word will effectually work in all those who do believe. Because the gospel is not something that comes apart from power, but it comes with it. And it comes with the Holy Spirit. And it comes with assurance that the one who believes knows that they are passed from death unto life. And the evidence is this changed life. Now we thank you for your grace. And we commend this company of thy people to you and to the word of that grace, which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among all that are sanctified through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.